Welcome to the Self-Esteem and Confidence Mindset with me, Johnny Pardo. Welcome back to the Self-Esteem and Confidence Mindset podcast. Today, I've got a very special guest with me. I've got a fellow Johnny. So I've got Johnny Lawrence with me today. Hey, Johnny, how are you doing?
I'm great, mate. Yeah, it's always been an honor to share a name with you, bud.
Yeah, same. Love it. So just an introduction to Johnny, and then Johnny can say a little bit more about what he does and his story, which I'm really looking forward to the great value he's going to give today. So Johnny Lawrence is known as the self-development coach and has made it his mission to help as many people as possible with his self-development. So like this podcast, very, very strong on the whole personal growth vision. So he didn't have the best start in life and suffered significant trauma. But through his obsession, his obsessive passion for self-development, he has managed to become unstuck and has chosen to pass on what he has learned to help other people. So wonderful stuff, Johnny. So can you tell us a little bit more about what you're doing at the moment and what got you to this stage?
Yeah, I mean, what I'm doing at the moment has happened very organically. I spent a large amount of time, roughly 15 years, as a health and fitness coach or a personal trainer. And, you know, that gift hindsight that we have later in life is I realize now that I have always been a coach. I've always been somebody that has truly believed in solving the problem instead of addressing the symptoms. You know, the example I use all the time is, you take a paracetamol to get rid of the headache, but you're not sure why you put the headache in the first place. And actually, a lot of the time, what I found over that time that I was working with people as a health and fitness coach was actually the issues that they had surrounding themselves were a manifestation of something deeper. Mm. It's almost always something deeper. You know, very, very rarely did we find someone who was super happy with life and then just one day decided they hated the way they look. You know, it doesn't tend to go that direction. And a lot of the time it was about some level of, and this is the magic word in my eyes, because all roads lead back here as far as I'm concerned, it was some form of acceptance in some form, shape or fashion. And what I got really sort of, what I found challenging to witness all the time was people coming in and passionately declaring how much they hated the way they looked. I hate this, I hate that. It sort of dawned on me, how is someone to make positive change when it comes from a negative place? You know, I always thought, okay, if you hate yourself and then you find yourself in a situation where, I don't know, you're going out with friends and you're gonna be eating loads of yummy food and having loads of drinks and stuff like that, and you don't wanna do that, hating yourself, it's most likely not going to be the best motivation to not do it or to do it, whichever it is. So one of the things that I struggle with in recent times is this idea of self-love and loving yourself. And it's not the idea that I struggle with. It's what's being asked of people. To take someone who's over a long period of their life, you know, not really liked themselves, or in some cases hated themselves or hated the way they look, and then asking them to turn around and love themselves is quite a demanding thing to do, I think.
Yeah.
But, you know, and in most cases, impossible. And all that would do is nurture that feeling of failure. So actually what I've learned over time, and the reason I've moved into self-development on a formal basis, because I'm a believer that I've always done it, you know, because in essence, if I give someone an exercise program and some dietary advice, if they do it, it will work, right? We know that. The formula is eat less, do more. But if you tell somebody that, it's like telling someone that came second in a race, you should have run faster. It's not helpful at all. So my sort of curiosity was always around, okay, you're not doing it. Like, what is it? What is it that's stopping you? You know, what are you doing instead? you know, let's get deep. And some people don't want that. Some people are like, no, I just thought you were going to come and cane me in the gym and that was that, you know, and that's fine. That's what I did. But the real success stories come from people completely changing their lives. You know, actually turned out I hated my job. It actually turned out I might have been in the wrong relationship. It actually turned out that I was surrounding myself with the wrong people. You know, these are the things that needed addressing, but you're not going to know that from, I don't like the way I look. You know, that's quite a big leap. And it wasn't until I got to my 40th birthday, and I like to do this thing every year where I reflect and look back over the year that's been. And I come to this, I had this sort of niggle. I don't want to be a health and fitness coach when I'm 50. You know, I don't want that, you know. And finally, I got to a point in my life where I built up enough courage and enough guts to say, oh, well, I'm going to give this coaching thing a try. And what I found to be successful in the coaching industry, because I had to make that formal switch, which was really quite hard because I had quite a successful fitness business. And it was like, oh, great, I'm going to kill this business. Let's hope you're right, Johnny. You know, and what I found is that the formula for me, and I don't like that word formula because you can't apply it to everybody, but I can safely say that figuring out what it is that somebody needs to accept about themselves, and then once they accept it, they're then able then to make the positive changes they want to make. And that sounds like I'm contradicting myself, but the example that I use is, it's like having the job of your dreams, absolutely loving the job that you do, but just wanting to be paid more money for it. That's it. You want to get a bit more out of it, you know? And it's like when people come to me and I say to them, okay, we need to accept the situation you're in. Truth of the matter is, what choice do you have? You know, you are you for the rest of your life, and you can look at a celebrity or somebody that you admire, and you can do absolutely everything you possibly can to look like them, to act like them, to dress like them, to behave like them, but you will never be them. You will always be you, you know, and that's not a bad thing unless you view it that way. And what I'm trying to get people to understand is that if you accept who you are, if you accept the person that you are, flaws and all, no matter what you perceive them, you know, then we can make some changes. Because when it gets hard, which it does in self-development, right? We want to be better people. We want to be the person we want to be. And sometimes things, our environment, people challenge that. And we have to then stick to our guns. And sometimes that gets hard. If you're in a position where you hate yourself, you're most likely not going to do well in that situation. So I try to encourage people, firstly, to love themselves enough instead of loathe themselves enough to make them positive changes, to stick to your guns, even when it feels hard. You know, so I've now made that switch where I've been called the self-development coach now for the past year. And there are two reasons for that. First one being that Cobra Kai is massive. And there's a chap named Johnny Lawrence in that. And when you type him into Google, I don't come up. He does. And with the best will in the world, I'm probably not going to be able to go up against Netflix. So it was a bit of a tactical reason for being a self-development coach. But also it's because I am in such a good place in my life now. And that will surprise some people once they hear how I got started. And I just want to give back to people. And I'm not saying I've got the answers to everyone's problem, but what I'm saying is that I would love to be that person that supports people on that journey and reflects back to them what they really want. Because a lot of the time I feel people are denying themselves of who they really are, you know, and that's a real sad thing, because people want this thing, and then they get piled on all this guilt that comes from somebody else. Oh, I should be doing this, I should be doing that. When actually, you know, why should you? Why should you be running someone else's program? So I firstly, self-development to me and doing what I'm doing is about people accepting who they are first, only then to be able to make the changes that they want to make.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And there's a phrase that came up for me when you were saying that, which is progress starts with truth.
And love that.
Yeah, I'm usually pretty good at the quote and the name
attached. You're good at that, actually. But
on that one, I can't remember who said it. I don't even think it's a Tony one, but it is quite a profound one. But yeah, I mean, I like what you were saying about, you know, people often look at the symptoms, like you're talking about the headache and taking some, you know, pills for that or whatever kind of medication, but it's not necessarily, if it's coming up again and again, the headache,
yeah,
it's not like looking at that cause. So,
well, you could be tired, you could be dehydrated. There's so many things that you can change that don't involve just masking it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So I love what you said about, acceptance, but also like realizing where you are, because you can't really treat something unless you actually know what it is. It's like, I don't know, I hurt myself, or here's a plaster, you know? It's just... Yeah.
Yeah, why did you hurt yourself, or yeah. what led to the injury or whatever?
What led to it? Yeah.
I think, as you point out there, like, you know, that I love that saying that you just said, like, progress starts with truth. And the fact of the matter is, very often the truth is terrifying. Mm. And to be alone in that space where you have to face your truth is not something that people are very encouraged to do, is it?
Yeah.
You know, and that's why people like yourselves and people like me are sat in that space and are able to hold that space for those people, because sometimes when they get there, they're not able to hold it for themselves. And it's always an honor, as I know you feel, because there's one thing that I've always admired what you do, because you are a person that, you know, that you're doing this job for the right reasons. You care about people, you want to help people. And knowing that you're out there, a coach out there holding space for other people is exciting. It really is.
I appreciate that. And likewise as well, Johnny. So thanks for your kind words there. One thing I kind of wanted to ask you about there, though, is obviously as ourselves are sort of like in the personal growth space, as sort of coaches within that space and helping people, guiding people through their journey. One thing for me that's particularly interesting as I went through my whole growth journey is the more you grow, like, insecurities will pop up. I think sometimes there's an expectation that you get to a point and no fears, no insecurities pop up, but we know that's not true. So I kind of just wanted to get your take on that. And as you were going through your, and you're still going through your journey, as you've been going through your self-development journey, have you found that, you know, more, you know, insecurities and fears do pop up at times?
Yeah, absolutely. I have. You know, I've recently made quite a significant shift in my life. Due to childhood trauma, I found myself using alcohol to sort of suppress that trauma, and it worked for a very long time until it didn't. And when it didn't, I got help, and here I am now. Actually, strangely enough, just on Sunday, I was 1 year sober, which is 1 year alcohol free. Which is great. Strangely enough, I completely forgot, which is odd. But then at first I was
as well, though. That's
I was annoyed at that at first.
Noticed it. Yeah.
Yeah. But then I took that exact approach. I thought to myself, well, how cool is it that I actually forgot that, something that should have been really significant. But I made that change in my life. So one thing, essentially, I removed alcohol from my life. The changes that have come from that have been absolutely mind blowing. I mean, my friendships and my relationships with people have been challenged because I'm no longer the person that they wanted me to be or they accepted me to be. And that's okay, because when they became friends with me, I was a different person, and now a large part of that is gone. And I look at it as a positive thing, but for someone who wants to go out drinking all day on a Saturday, that's not ideal, you know, because the last thing that Johnny wants to do is go out and watch people get drunk. That doesn't sound like much fun. But like, what I think happens is it's a bit like imposter syndrome, isn't it? And it's about, like, people always think that it means that they're an imposter, that they're not good enough to do what they want to do. But actually, what I've come to find is that all of the people that I've worked with that I would deem successful, CEOs of big companies, people that are doing things that not everybody's doing, and they have it.
Yeah.
they have imposter syndrome badly. Yeah. Like, really badly. So if I'm seeing that trait in everybody that's successful, does that not mean it's part of success? You know? And actually, does that imposter syndrome come from the fact that actually you're really passionate about what you want to do? It matters to you so much that you don't want to get it wrong. That's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Love that perspective on it.
Yeah, it's a good thing. And also, actually, it's then further sort of built up by the fact that you're surrounded by people that are doing the thing that you want to do, you know? So us in the personal growth space, we go to a Tony Robbins seminar and we go, oh my gosh, it's Tony Robbins, or oh my God, it's Brendan Burchard, or it's Mel Robbins, or whatever. And actually, we respect them so much that the byproduct of that is not feeling as good as them, you know? So therefore, it's actually not that you're an imposter. It's actually that you put them on a pedestal. You know, and that's they're two different things, right? They're two very different things. And lastly, it's that combination of the two together. Like, you want to be where they are, and you you value what your peers and what they're doing in their careers, and also you don't want to get it wrong because you're really passionate about it, you know. So actually it is a perspective thing. It's always a perspective thing, isn't it, really?
yeah totally agree with the imposter syndrome. I'm glad you brought it up because I sometimes bring that question up a lot. I'm very, you know, I don't care how many times I say this across my podcast, but I want to get away from the misconception that these highly confident, charismatic people that we might see, we all have fears. It's just how we deal with our fears, which affects our confidence. Because if we're going to push ourselves through it, I don't know about you, Johnny, but the more, when I push myself through something I'm scared of, even if it's a little thing, that gives me such a great deal of confidence afterwards. And yeah, I'm so glad you brought up the imposter syndrome. And when we're talking about imposter syndrome, we're talking about people feeling that they're not worthy of doing it. And absolutely, how are they there? I'm so glad you brought that up, because it's, you know, depending on your background, it doesn't matter. We all get it. So
yeah, we all do get it. And in some degrees, people believe it's linked to things like self-belief. But I had a realization not so long ago when I'm moving into different space, much like yourself, you know, author, podcaster, successful coach, you know, that sort of thing often brings opportunities, right? Stuff that you may or may not have done before. And to some degree, you can convince yourself that there's a level of self-belief that needs to come with that. And I kept thinking, well, how can I believe in myself when I've never done it before? And then I realized something. It's not about me believing in me. It's about me believing that I can do the action that's needed. So actually, it's not about believing in myself. It's a lack of preparation. You know, I'm not feeling prepared enough to do this thing that I'm doing. Okay, great. I can do something about that. I can do something about not being prepared. I can go away and be prepared. If I have to deliver a speech, then go away, write a speech and practice it. You know, if I have to go on a podcast and I'm being asked about something specific, you know, me and you, we know a lot of stuff, but we don't walk around with knowledge in our head all the time. You know, we do have to remind ourselves of certain things. So go and prepare yourself for it. So self-belief had nothing to do with me. It had everything to do with me being prepared for the action that I had to take, you know, on that day. So self-belief, that word now, just it's just got a little line under it, and next to it is preparation. Be more prepared for what it is I'm being asked to do, you know. So that's also a massive part of it too for me. And again, like I said, I'm on a journey where I'm constantly stepping out of my comfort zone, and actually, instead of trying to step out of my comfort zone and get back to the new norm, I'm constantly trying to sell myself, hey, this is your life now. You're constantly stepping out of your comfort zone a little bit more. And what's amazing is that comfort zone, and I turn around and stop and take a look back, I go, oh my gosh, my comfort zone's got bigger. You know, which is quite cool.
Yeah, and it's key to reflect and praise yourself for everything, because
which is hard, isn't it?
I'm very keen on, like, I was doing this yesterday, my group coaching constantly, it's like, guys, right, before we go, pat yourself on the back. And I'm getting them to do that constantly throughout. I was on a call with some other coaches and we were really helping each other the other day, and you know, you can see the individual was struggling through the task, and it's just like, keep praising yourself, you're going through it. And I think that's something we need to give ourselves more credit for actually how far we've come. And as various exercises I like to give people on that as well. So,
well, it's really hard if you've not been taught how to do that. You know, there's a monk named Dandapandi, and yeah, he talks about concentration. And he said, we are always asking people to concentrate, but no, when was the last time someone took a concentration lesson? And it's the same about self praise, isn't it? It's like when we say, oh, we must praise ourselves, but no one's taught us how to do it, because maybe our parents didn't do it, or because their parents didn't do it to them. And then there's that generational learning, isn't it? And it's about like us teaching people to say, whoa, stop. Look at what you did. That's amazing. Like, that wasn't possible a year ago. Do you accept that? And it's like, yeah, I suppose you're right. Yeah, I am right. You did it. You know, it's amazing. And it's like, we're teaching them to take that time and say to himself, oh my gosh, like, you know, your podcast is doing exceptionally well. And I only hope, and I'm sure you do, that you take the time to say to yourself, oh my gosh, at some point I only had one view or 25 views or whatever. Now I'm getting the views I'm getting. And I don't only imagine they're in the thousands and thousands, you know? And it's like, that's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. And you, I really hope that you take the time to sit there and go, as someone who's got a podcast and is moving in that direction, it is something that I aspire. You know, I put you up there and go, gosh, one day hopefully I'll have as much popularity as Johnny does, you know? And that's okay to think that, right? You know, because I'm not trying to take away what you've got. I'm trying to join you up there.
Yeah, well, giving yourself credit on the way for everything you do.
Absolutely. Awesome. Absolutely.
Yeah, I love it. There's one thing you spoke about earlier, and it's actually the preparation, which I thought was such a great point to talk about, because no one's actually brought that up before in an interview on here. Interestingly, in terms of building your confidence or self-belief, we were talking about, and actually having the preparation. One thing that kind of came out in my mind there was the focusing on what you can do versus focusing what you can't do. And often we try and get that confidence or belief in ourselves from looking at what we can't control, like other people's opinions, you know, how many like downloads we get or whatever, how many views we've got on social media, rather than, right, this is the action I've got to do. This is how I can prepare for this podcast or this podcast interview or this coaching session. So is that something you found has really helped you to focus on what you can control rather than what you can't?
Yeah, it's been a big part of my life is it, again, that word acceptance. Accept, recognizing from the very start, like them two, there's two words that are vital to understanding that situation, and that is expectations expectations and assumptions. You know, if I assume something of somebody else and they don't deliver, is that their fault or mine? You know, if I have an expectation that doesn't get met, was my expectation right in the first place? So what I always do now is I first of all try to work out, okay, what let's get it straight in my head what it is that I want and what I'm trying to achieve in this situation. And don't let anyone else's agenda hijack that. That doesn't mean I'm not going to help other people. What it means is that I don't confuse other people's agendas with my own. So that when I'm moving towards it, if my goal is to get there and I, as I'm going along, I'm helping someone else, I can't get too bogged down with what they're doing and start making that my goal, because then I'm trying to change my belief system or my value system. And that's not ideal, is it? Because we very quickly find ourselves somewhere unfamiliar and somewhere we don't want to be, you know? You know, so to me, it's about making sure that my expectations and assumptions are measured in some way. Yeah. That I know that I'm staying to my task. Doesn't mean I can't help other people. Doesn't mean I can't say, hey, look, hey, do you need a hand? Or, hey, I'll take this day off from what I'm doing to help you. What it means is that I know where I'm going and I'm recognizing the markers that I'm putting in place, the small steps that I'm taking towards the bigger picture. But I'm also not letting someone else's agenda pollute my own, if that makes sense. Yeah. Hopefully it does.
Absolutely. It kind of, what springs to mind there is when we kind of live our life off to-do lists, which aren't necessarily our to-dos, and having clear outcomes and defined targets that we're trying to meet. And obviously, like you say, it's not about like, right, I'm going to do this, this, and this, and this is all that's going to happen. Like, you've got to be flexible in life. Things come up, and you know, you want to help other people, of course, but being really clear on your outcomes so that you can, you know, focus a percentage of time towards what you want. So
and it's okay to like, there seems to be this sort of habit these days of people making people feel bad for wanting things. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's okay to want to be successful. That's all right. It's all right. You know, it's okay to just on a day just to randomly decide I ain't going to do anything today. I don't want to. I'm tired. I need to take a break, you know. But somewhere out there on social media or even mates sometimes, there's that pressure, isn't there? Oh, you should be doing this. You should be doing that. Well, wait a minute. Why should I? You know, it's okay to want to do things for yourself. That's all right. You know, you want to be successful. There's nothing wrong with that at all. It doesn't make you selfish. Doesn't make you greedy. You want to be successful. If you start looking at other people and measuring your success on there could be a problem there, you know, because actually somebody else being successful doesn't mean you're not successful. But they're two separate issues. But yet people measure themselves up against other people. And then they say, oh, because they're doing A, B, and C, that must mean that I'm this. Well, no, they're two different issues completely. You know, you've just managed to confuse the issue completely. And that's what I mean about sticking to your goals and understanding what it is that you want from a situation so that you don't get into that situation, because that's a horrible place to be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Great advice in terms of that, like knowing what you want really, really.
Having that clarity.
Yeah, having the clarity. That's what, yeah, that's what I always like to get people. What do you want? What do you want? What do you want? Not what, I don't want to be this. I don't want to be in that situation. No, what do you want?
Yeah.
Yeah. Be really clear on that. That side.
And again, it's exactly as you alluded to at the beginning. It's that truth, isn't it? Mm. And that truth might be scary because we if we haven't had it, we will. There will be somebody that's not happy in a relationship. Now, we are never going to tell somebody to end that relationship. That's not what we're here to do. We're here to maybe figure out what it is about that relationship that's not making them happy, whether that can be repaired or attention can be given to it. But that's a really hard thing to, you know, you've been married 20 years and all of a sudden you're talking about changing that. That's terrifying. That's terrifying. Doesn't mean it's not your truth though. You know, and that's a really hard place to be. And that's why it takes certain type of people to be able to hold that space for them.
Yeah. 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 Thanks for bringing that one up. I want to kind of explore kind of another area on the other side from that. And it's around trauma a little bit. Because obviously different people go through different life experiences. We're usually experiencing some kind of like trauma in one form or another. The severity obviously varies from individual to individual, from experience. But really, I just kind of, obviously, I know it's something you've worked through and you help other people work through as well. But what would you say in terms of what's your definition of trauma? And then what are some kind of useful habits that people can put in place to work through trauma?
That's a really good question. I don't know if I've ever been asked what the definition of trauma is. Not sure I have, you know, in this moment I don't have one, so I'm doing this off the cuff. But I suppose for me trauma was something that happened to me that I perceived as negative and allowed to impact the rest of my life. You know, and for me, my experience of trauma was I am a survivor of child abuse and a witness to domestic violence. And it was significant. And I never gave it its credit in my life. I survived that period of my life where I was at home and my father was abusive and violent. And when I got out of it, I never wanted to think about it again. that was my ethos, not realizing that it was impacting absolutely every aspect of my life, every relationship I had, every environment I visited, every choice I made, everything I believed, everything I valued was all seen through this lens of my trauma. And I knew that I had to spend some time there, but I didn't want to. It was terrifying. Why would I? You know, but there was a moment for me that changed absolutely everything and made me realize that this thing was bigger than just me. And that was when, you know, I was lucky enough to meet a wonderful lady who's now my wife. And we spent some time together, years and years and years. And we decided to have children. And we fell pregnant quite quickly. We were very lucky. And we had a fairly good pregnancy. And we got to the point where she was going to give birth. And we had joined this group of people that were all at the same stage. And we all got excited together. And one by one, we were all having babies. And we were the last. And I was like, oh, gosh, she's going to be crazy. I can't believe it. I'm really excited. I'm really scared. I'm really all these different things. And I was there when my wife gave birth. And I had this anticipation of it happening. Obviously, as a partner, as a husband, you've got all of these concerns. I hope my wife's okay. I hope the baby's okay. And there's loads of stuff you don't understand. It's all very terrifying. That's all perfectly normal childbirth experience. And then my son comes out and I see him come out. I cut the umbilical cord and I'm holding him in my arms. And there's this moment I've been waiting for. Oh my gosh, it's my son. I'm going to do anything for you. I'm going to look after you. I'm going to do everything right. I love you so much. It's an overwhelming feeling of love. But then all of a sudden, like a door slam, like a brick landing on the floor, it was this impactful feeling of, oh my goodness. Because all of a sudden, I was given this other perspective of my childhood trauma. I'm now a father, but my father was a father. How can he do this? How can he do the things that he did? And my little brain couldn't handle that. And I started to unravel really quickly at a time when it was less than ideal. My wife needed me. We were both in this together. We had this baby that we had to look after. And she needed me. So I had this pressure of like, okay, you can't lose it now. You can't lose it now. But I was, you know, I was struggling with this concept that someone can have these feelings of being a father and still do the things that he did. But not just to me, but to my mother, not just to my mother, to my brothers, not just to my brothers, to my sister. I had to not only endure it, I had to witness it too, you know? And lots of the things he did were, there was a lot of like violence, obviously, a lot of very serious violence, violence that puts you in hospital. But there was also a lot of what I've come to realize, and a lot of what the words I use are intentional, because I've had to do a lot of reframing of my trauma, and because there's been some times where I've been disrespectful towards the experiences that have happened to me, because I've had to be, because if I had realized what I now know back when I was younger, I'm not sure I would have done very well with that information. But like, he used to torture us, you know, and in some cases he would realize that I was the oldest one, and that I'd got used to the violence and all of the stuff that had happened. So he would threaten to hurt my brothers or my sister or my mum. Sometimes he would threaten to get me later in the night and totally forget. I'd hear him get up and go to the loo and I'd wet the bed. These are things that happened, you know, and I had to give them their space and I had to honor those experiences. Sometimes I had to cry about it and have some sadness about it, because I hadn't done that. I hadn't grieved and done all of the emotions that needed to be done around that. You know, I didn't have a father that I could trust, you know, and it cost me a lot for a very long time. And actually, the two things I had to do was, first of all, take ownership of them emotions, and then second of all, come to some form of acceptance. And what I did was, I worked with somebody who said to me, you know, you must reach a level of acceptance with this. Can you accept what's happened to you? No, I can't. I can't accept it. Because at the time, I was confusing acceptance with forgiveness. I was thinking acceptance meant that I had to like it in some way. And that's not what acceptance means. Acceptance means nothing. It means no doing whatsoever. Those people that are trying to accept, that is the problem. They are trying. Accepting is accepting. It's a non-action, you know? So actually, what I'm doing is, I'm looking back now and I'm thinking, okay, these things happened to me. Yeah. Forget reframing for a moment, you know, trying to reframe them so they're a positive. That's, you have to be strong enough to do that. You have to be a certain way down the road of acceptance before you do that. But the really important question that I was asked by a man named Malachy Dunn, who I hold in the highest regard that I can, because he helped me significantly. And he said to me, okay, I accept that you don't accept this, but can you accept that you don't accept this? And I laughed because it sounded ridiculous. And then I realized that must mean I'm on the road to acceptance, because I could accept that I couldn't accept it yet. And actually, it's like anything, isn't it? A problem starts to get solved as soon as you acknowledge it. You know, yeah. As soon as you acknowledge there's an issue, we're on the way, you know? So I was working for a long time on my idea of acceptance. And then I started to identify the things that came along with my trauma. So I had hypervigilance, yeah? I had the feeling of dread. I had fear and paranoia. All these things were necessary because I was living in an unsafe environment. I had catastrophization and I had some self-hatred, because there must be something wrong with me if this person's good, who's supposed to love me. Everyone else's dads are taking them to the football, taking them to the cinema, doing this with them, doing that with them. My dad's beating me. You know, must be me, right? It must be me. But what I've learned over time, once I got a certain way down my acceptance journey, was my hypervigilance is a superpower, because what it does is it enables me to notice my surroundings and it helps me find opportunities. When I'm talking to my coaching clients, my hypervigilance is so strong that I'm listening to the tone of their voice. I'm listening to the things they're not saying. I'm watching their mannerisms. I'm watching the way they sit in the chair, the things that they're avoiding, the things that they want to talk about, the things they don't want to talk about. I'm noticing all these things because my hypervigilance is high. And that's great, because that's a superpower in the coaching space. My feeling of dread is actually excitement. You know, the nervousness and excitement are essentially the same thing. It's only our perception of it. You know, it's not always easy to do. Sometimes you're just bloody nervous. That's okay. You know, that's okay. But it's very easy to realize that nervousness and excitement are the same. Fear and paranoia, thank you for keeping me safe. thank you for keeping me safe, because there's been very many times when I'm so glad I was paranoid because I was right, you know, and it kept me safe. Catastrophization, where's the evidence? What's the worst that can happen? When that happens, then what? It's often not as bad as it seems, you know? And then self-hatred, I have to remind myself I'm a good person. I'm a kind person, I'm trying to do nice things. So I'm constantly working on all those things all the time. It's not just a one and done, it's a constant process all of the time. You know, I'm constantly reminded, it's a toolbox, isn't it? As we say in the coaching space, it's a toolbox where we train ourselves to recognize what's actually happening and then pull out the right tools. And that's a key point for me, the right tools, because you wouldn't get very far trying to hammer a nail with a saw. you just wouldn't, you know. So it's about understanding what the right tool is for the right moment, you know. And that's what we try to do, don't we? We try to offer those tools. We can't change the past, and that's why we have to accept it. We have to accept what's happened. We have to realize that in certain situations, our behavior is likely to do this. Therefore, we have to prepare for it, you know. And it's a very trying existence, but it's worth it. It's worth it because I'm able to sit with my kids and enjoy them like I should be able to do, instead of how, you know, in years, you know. And as my journey with my children evolved, and as they got older and they changed, I felt their demands were different in some way. So I then had to evolve. As you say, nothing stays the same, right? So I'm having to evolve all the time. There was a period in time where, for some bizarre reason, I'd be sat with my child watching a Disney film, and they would snuggle in for a cuddle, and my whole body would seize up, and I would cringe, and I'd be like, oh, I can't handle it. What's that about? You know, but I had to work around that. I had to accept it first, which was a horrible thing to do. I had to accept that I couldn't sit with my child and have a cuddle, you know? So I had to accept that. And then with that acceptance, was I then able to do something about it? Because I was dealing with, as you put earlier on, the truth, as uncomfortable as it was.
Yeah. Oh, thank you for sharing all that and opening up about your story. So that's very, very inspiring of how far you've come and you've developed yourself now, how you're doing that to other people. So thank you for sharing that, Johnny. And
no, I appreciate that. And I do it because of that reason. It's because I shared it once without realizing, or not without realizing, but I didn't intend to share it when I did on a public forum. And the messages I got of just feeling heard, feeling seen. And then I recognized that same feeling of like, when you have trauma, and as you know, a lot around shame and stuff, like you hold it, you keep it a secret. And then you become your own counsel, start giving yourself your own advice. And it's like, that's not ideal, because if you're in a really negative place, you're probably not going to give yourself very great advice in that moment. So for me, it's about helping people know that, you know what, I really do understand. I do understand, you know, I do get how you're feeling, you know. And if that happens for somebody, if someone's listening to the podcast and they get that feeling, that's on purpose. That's part of what I'm doing here. I'm trying to get you to understand that there's no reason to be ashamed of what's happened to you, you know. Especially, it happens a lot. I've spoken to a few people around sexual assault, and the shame and stuff that's attached to that is just, it's heartbreaking, absolutely heartbreaking. So, you know, and you said it earlier on, trauma could be anything from what's happened to me to someone being told they can't sing, you know, at 7 years old. The idea is that experience translates into the rest of their life. It impacts their life in some way. That person might have wanted to be a singer and never will do because their dad told them they couldn't sing one day. He might have even been joking when he said it, but you took it on.
It's not conscious either to us. No. It's conscious. Why is it? And we're consistent with our beliefs. So we've got these beliefs that went in before, you know, in early childhood, they're going to be there until we get that consciousness and we become conscious about them, and, you know, that acceptance, which I'm, you know, you've explained really well today.
Yeah, it's a really difficult subject matter, because, and I understand this as well, telling somebody that's gone through some difficult trauma that they need to accept it hurts, and it makes you angry and it annoys you because you're like, how can you say that? But what you're not realizing in that moment is, what choice do you have? And actually, the peace, honestly, the peace that comes with reaching some level of acceptance. You don't have to fully accept it. You don't have to like it. You don't have to forgive anybody. You just have to accept it. And you do that for you. You do that so you can move forward. you know, and you can get rid of that. And the feeling and the word I want to say that comes with acceptance is the word freedom.
Yeah.
You don't have to have them horrible feelings anymore. And it is a feeling. It's not, it's like when people have depression, yeah, and people say, oh, snap out of it. And it's like, it's not a thought process.
What do I think of that one?
Yeah, cheers then. It's not a thought process. It's not something that you're thinking about. It's not something, it's something that you feel. It's a feeling that you just cannot get rid of. It's a dark cloud that will not go away. You know, I've heard people say, I'm depressed. I think it's the NLP guy, I forget, Richard Bandler. And he says, stop practicing depression. Now, I get that as a concept. I get that because there are things that we can do to nurture our depression, right? We can do things that aren't so good for us. Like for me, it was drinking. You know, if I was down and I'd drink, guess what? There was a long period of time where it helped, right? But then it stopped helping and I didn't recognize it. You know, therefore, when I would drink, it would make everything worse. You know, so that's me nurturing and practicing my depression. However, to tell someone just to stop being depressed is ridiculous. It is. And sometimes people can have that feeling around acceptance. Just accept it. It's not helpful. But what you can do is you can help someone. You can nurture someone. You can support someone. You can sit with them in uncomfortable and terrifying moments until they get to some level of acceptance. When we get to some level of acceptance, we can build on it. You know, and that's the process in a way. And it'll be different for many people, but that's the process I went through.
Thanks so much for sharing the insight on that side of things as well. So, Johnny, we're kind of wrapping up things here, but just before we go, we could go on talking for ages.
Yeah, we absolutely could.
We always have a great conversation.
Yeah.
Love it. But just for before we wrap up, really, is there kind of a final point or a couple of points that you'd like to share? And then where can people find you if they'd like to find out a little bit more about your work?
I suppose the final point is recognizing them assumptions and expectations. It's recognizing them assumptions and expectations and making sure that we measure them correctly. Because we can find ourselves in a situation where we unfairly get angry with someone or unfairly judge someone or just treat someone in an unfair way because of our expectations and our assumptions. Actually, if you want to use the word blame, I don't love that word, but if you want to say it for clarity, if you want to lay blame, sometimes it's on yourself. You know, your assumptions were too high, your expectations were too high. The fix there is to measure them beforehand instead of afterwards. It's very hard to measure expectations after they haven't been met because you're generally not happy. So that's a tough one. The other thing I suppose is around acceptance. It's about recognizing that acceptance is the answer. As soon as you do that, you're on your way. Even if you're not there yet, even if you can't accept what's happened, just knowing that acceptance is the answer and that you need to get towards that. Again, like I said, it's not about trying to be accepting. It's like right now I'm talking to you, you're hearing what I'm saying. You're not trying to hear what I'm saying, you're accepting it, you know? And that's what it is. There's no effort there, it just happens. You know, it's a process. And then the last thing is about maybe just understanding your emotions and actually what is an emotion, you know? Because people say, I'm angry, yeah? I'm really angry. And they think that's an emotion. And before you know it, you're an angry person or you're really angry today or today I just feel angry. But actually, I'm not sure that anger's the emotion. I think anger is the reaction. And actually the emotion is probably, what is it that's made you angry? Is it that you're jealous? Is it that you're feeling rejection? Is it that you're embarrassed? Is it that you're experiencing disappointment? Because we can do something about that. You know, it's always about what can we do about it? How can we take action? How can we move forward in some way? If you tell someone you're angry, what's the reply? Okay, sorry, you're angry. But if you tell someone, hey, I'm quite angry right now because you embarrassed me. And that person says, oh gosh, I did not intend to embarrass you. How did I do that? And all of a sudden they didn't want to embarrass you. It was an accident. They embarrassed you by doing something that they didn't mean to do. And you got angry about it. And then there's miscommunication, you know, that happens. So I suppose it's about really understanding what is an emotion and what is a reaction, you know. Just before we go, there's this wonderful thing that the chap I spoke about, Maliki, gave me. I don't even know if he sells these. I've told loads of people about it. I hope he does. But it's this little chart that he's made that for the sake of people that are watching on YouTube. And it's a color chart. And what it has is all of these different emotions on it. all the way across, you know? So you've got silence, tethered, betrayed, punished, gaslighted, all these different emotions and feelings that come with stuff. And that's what really helped me understand that actually there's a difference between a reaction and an emotion, you know, and understanding that is a nice pathway to actually getting somewhere where you can actually, you know, get some benefit from it, if that makes sense. Anyway, I hope that's answered your question. A bit long-winded, sorry.
No, fantastic, Johnny. And yeah, it's always great to hear about like various bits of work. So that chart is definitely something I haven't seen before, so I'm going to be looking at it. Yeah. So excited about that. So yeah. Johnny, just before you go, after an immense lot of value that you've given today, thank you. Where can people find you if they'd like to find out more about your work?
Well, I hope it's okay to say that I have a podcast too. It's the Self-Development Podcast. That's on all platforms. I hope that's all right, Johnny. I can be found on social media under the Self-Development Coach, where I put out lots of different things from, carousels, reels, all that sort of stuff that you'll find on there. With the intention is to give value on that too. And then just recently I've started something called the School of Self-Development, which is a community that I'm trying to build where people could come together, coaches and normal everyday people, where we can all just share a space together and we can offer free advice. We can offer free perspective, wisdom, whatever to each other. You know, I've asked and you've kindly accepted to do a short video that we'll call Me and Free. On self-confidence, and I loved it, absolutely loved it. Everything in there you said is brilliant, and that's the kind of thing we're trying to do. It's not about me as such, this School of Self-Development. It's about bringing everybody together in one space and trying to create a community that helps people move forward in some way, somewhere where people feel supported. Something like Christmas coming up, right, where there's loads of triggers for lots of people around Christmas. Maybe somebody has had a bereavement recently and that person's not there at Christmas. Maybe somebody's gone sober, you know, and there's struggles with that around Christmas. And it gets hard to exist in that time for some people, that it spoils their Christmas in some cases. And so having a community where you can go in and say, is anyone else struggling with this? What are they doing? I love that idea. It's the community that I've always wanted to be a part of, you know. So that's what I'm trying to create, and I'm loving bringing people like yourself in. You know, there's no point in me trying to tell someone how to be self-confident like you, Johnny, because you do it the best. So why not just get you involved? You know, and you were kind enough to say yes, so that's cool, you know.
Awesome. Yeah, glad to be part of that. And there's going to be lots of good collaboration and information sharing and, support in there. So
that's the hope. Yeah. So, but before we do go, can I just say thank you so much for inviting me on here? I've always wanted to be on this podcast, so I'm quite pleased. thank you, Johnny. I appreciate that.
No, well, thank you for coming on. It's been a pleasure. And I was just about to say, we'll put all those links in the description of this episode as well. So
thank you, mate. I appreciate that.
So people can find you as well. But yeah, you're welcome. Once again, Johnny, a big thank you for being here. So it's been great talking. So that concludes our episode today. But remember, work on your self-confidence every single day.